Welcome to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, coming to you from the Cargo District Recording Studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, where we discuss the most fascinating topics of life. I'm Tyler Yaw with my co-host, Chris Kelly, and each week we interview a special guest to learn how they acquired their wisdom over a glass of whiskey. So sit back, pour yourself a glass, and enjoy Whiskey and Wisdom.
Welcome back to the Whiskey and Wisdom Podcast, everybody. This is your solo host today, Tyler Yaw. Chris Kellum is working hard, slinging the watches and the jewelry over at Reach Jewelers today. But I do have Sarah Auld, the CEO of Upper, in the studio today. We thought this was a fitting podcast for January 3rd, since everyone is looking towards their New Year resolutions. Mm-hmm. How you can get healthier, the gyms you're going to, and something we'll go a little bit more into is making sure you're going to the right gym.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
So let's just jump right on in. Since it is the new year, most people are doing dry January anyway. Mm-hmm. So we do not have whiskey on this episode. And we couldn't open a new bottle without Chris anyway for the new year.
Can't do that to him.
Right. Exactly. It's just not right. But with that being said, let's get started on what are some gyms doing now that you should probably be looking out for to not join?
Aggressive. Okay. Well, so I sent you recently the articles about Ozempic being distributed through fitness centers and wellness centers now.
Right.
Which is super infuriating. So Forbes recently came out with an article. For anybody who doesn't know about this, Forbes came out with an article about Ozempic in fitness centers and wellness centers and the stock boom that it will have for the fitness industry in all areas, from gyms to athleisure clothing to how it's hurting the food industry, right? Like Dunkin' Donuts, I guess, is taking a hit right
it
now.
Has,
or some of those companies. But yeah, so companies like Lifetime Fitness just recently hired or are hiring clinicians to come into Lifetime Fitness to give Ozempic to their members.
Wow.
Do you know what Ozempic is?
I know the general gist of it in the business aspect, being in the business that I am, but for the listeners who probably don't, do you want to go in a little bit deeper on that?
So Ozempic is an injection. It's a pharmaceutical drug that helps people supposedly with weight loss, right? And it does. Yeah. It's proven to be effective in weight loss.
It was originally developed for, was it diabetes or something? What was the original?
It uses the drugs that diabetics need and use for their insulin regulation.
Gotcha.
So I'm actually not sure the original reason for developing Ozempic. I'd imagine that's probably part of it.
Okay.
If not it completely.
Right.
But they're using it now for people's weight loss that don't have diabetes. Mm-hmm. And so actually on that note, there's a huge shortage of diabetic medicine.
Oh, wow.
For people with diabetes, which is detrimental.
Exactly.
Life-threatening. Yeah. For this elective drug for people to lose weight faster.
That's mind-blowing to me, especially kind of being in the holistic world myself, is I know it takes a little bit longer, like eating better, but I mean.
So it's infuriating. So I wanted to go on a rant about this as soon as it came out and as soon as it happened. It's probably good that I didn't.
It took a few days to come off the high. A
couple weeks, I couldn't even sleep for a couple days. I was so angry about it. Yeah. But it's infuriating to me that these places that identify as fitness centers, wellness centers, and really try to convince people that they are fundamental wellness, right? Which they're not. They're already lifestyle medicine, are inviting this huge pharmaceutical marketing tactic into their centers, which are modern wellness and lifestyle medicine, right? And just really excusing the ability or the research or the scientific research it takes to figure out, you know, why am I struggling to lose weight or what is it I need to do differently, or just the science of precision medicine.
The thing that scares me most about it is your body is reacting to what's going inside of it to begin with. And a lot of that is going to be either muscle loss, weight gain, whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. And if you're not treating that root cause and just, again, I just want to look nicer, and you're taking away one of those natural consequences, how else is this going to mess up your life down the line?
So there's already the side effects of Ozempic are huge. So there are record of 20 to 30 year olds right now in Wilmington, North Carolina, who are going to their doctors, and their doctors are warning them, you're going to be on, you're going to have an ostomy bag if you keep taking Ozempic. And I don't, if you don't know what an ostomy bag is, or any of the listeners who don't know, an ostomy bag is literally when you have a pouch on the outside of your body for the excretion of your feces. It is feces in an outer pouch of your body because your stomach and your gut health and your intestine is so damaged. And so that happens to people in car accidents and for all kinds of other reasons. But just for the elective reason to take this drug to help you lose weight faster, or because it's difficult to understand how to lose weight in your personal situation, these are the side effects people are going to deal with for the rest of their life, potentially.
The other part of it, too, is from what I understand, the main way that Ozempic works is by suppressing your appetite.
Yes.
So the two parts of that. One, it's not really good to completely suppress your appetite unless you are just like indulging way too much. And then the other side of that, too, that also means you can't go off the drug.
Well, so when people come off the drug, they gain the weight back. They frequently gain the weight back. But to what you just said, did you see the video recently on, I think it was on Instagram, I posted it, and it was about these scientists on 60 Minutes, I believe the show was 60 Minutes, and these scientists were going to these farms, trying the oranges and whatever out of the farms, and extracting the flavor from real fruit, bringing it back to the laboratory, and actually trying to create a chemical synthetic way to make the flavor last in your mouth at the perfect amount of time in natural, and mostly artificially flavored foods, so that you actually become addicted to the food.
Oh, wow.
And they say that on 60 Minutes, and the scientists say it, and the people trying the food say it. They're looking for just the right amount of taste of food to intentionally get people addicted to fake food.
Oh, wow.
You didn't see that?
Mind-blowing. I did watch most of it, but it's still, it's even just hearing about it again is mind-blowing.
Yeah. There's so many underlying causes, right, as to why people gain weight, why people can't lose weight. And a lot of it is probably personal trauma and just life damage based, right? Like, people cope with food. They're coping with food that's designed to become addictive.
Right.
They don't have natural natural and healthy habits at home or from their childhood or growing up. And so it's this endless spiral. And now all of a sudden you finally go join a gym and you think you're going somewhere safe that you can trust and rely on, has your best interest in mind. And all of a sudden they let in pharmaceutical marketing tactics to push drugs on you and medicalize your everyday life even more.
Something that'd be interesting to know, just knowing how the pharmaceutical industry works, is what kind of kickbacks are the gyms getting other than just the sales of Ozempic?
Yeah. Well, so I don't know all those details. I don't know if I want to know.
I was
going to
say, I'm sure it's secret for a reason.
Oh, it's so aggravating. And maybe we could find it. But so, like, these very articles, let's go ahead and pull a couple up. So one of the posts I saw on LinkedIn says, update, and these are by venture capitalists and investors, angel investors. All the more reason I get so frustrated because these people that I would count on, right, for investment in Upper, now I've got to be careful of what kind of investor I'm letting in, even in the fitness and wellness industry, right? And these aren't even fitness and wellness professionals, in my opinion. These are money professionals dressed up in fitness attire.
Yeah,
right?
Good point.
Yeah, I mean, they're wearing masks. But so this LinkedIn post says, update, fitness stocks on the rise. Wall Street weighs in on GLP-1. And that's Ozempic and I can't say this one, Wegovy. I don't know how to pronounce it. It's the other drug similar to Ozempic. But analysts have consensus that the $100 billion market for GLP-1s will help, not hurt, the fitness industry, as Morgan Stanley data shows that people who exercise weekly doubled from 35% to 71% after starting on Ozempic or Wegovy. Wegovy. So the research concluded, as patients lose weight, they simply feel both more physically able or more mentally motivated to exercise more. This supports the concept of lowering the gym intimidation, reported in his article, yada, yada. I'll stop there for now.
Yeah.
But all these articles, I mean, these posts all over LinkedIn from these investors and whatnot, they vaguely mention, sure, people feel more motivated to exercise because they quickly lost this weight. But all they care about is the boom of their fitness stock.
Right.
They care about their stocks. And so all consumers have to do when they hear about these gyms and they hear about these wellness, you know, quote unquote wellness centers, mm-hmm. having their best interest in mind, just ask yourself, what are these in the best interest of? And are they of me? Are they of money? Are they of the gym?
Mm-hmm.
Am I being told that I might get an ostomy bag? Right.
Right,
that that's
exactly.
a side effect. I mean, no, you're not. You're being told that, you know, this will make you want to buy more Nike and Lululemon,
mm-hmm.
right? In your athleisure clothes, because suddenly you've lost more weight and you feel like you need new clothing or whatever. I actually, this is funny. I said that to my partner. I told her about that line
right.
where they brought up Lululemon. And one of them said to me, I don't know why they think that they're going to sell more athleisure. They're just going to sell athleisure in a different size. These people right. are already buying athleisure clothing.
That's a good point.
Yeah. yeah. I mean, it's just, yeah.
That's crazy. And when I first saw Ozempic come out, because it, like you said, it made a big difference in the finance world. So even the stock of American Airlines and Delta Airlines went up because so many people are going to be taking this Ozempic drug that they'll be losing all of this weight, that planes are going to fly more efficiently. Like, if they're going that deep into this, and it makes you wonder, how hard are they pushing this drug?
Very hard.
To try to get
all
people
drugs.
To lose. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All drugs. So I recently had a meeting mm-hmm. with a very big founder in the healthcare space, and I won't get into too many details, but one of our conversations that went on for hours, and this person raised, you know, borderline $100 million wow. for their company, started telling me, don't ever fight pills. Don't try to fight pills. And we don't even fight pills. You know, at Upper, right. we tell people we're nature first, mm-hmm. right? So we lean on wellness and we lean on lifestyle medicine first and foremost, and just nature,
right.
prior to anybody hopefully ever needing pharmaceutical drugs and surgery. We just don't widely advocate for invasive or industrialized medicine.
Right. Yeah. I mean, there's a time and place for Western medicine. And that,
always.
I mean, so many people
always.
Have survived because of it. So I don't want anyone thinking that we're completely
yeah,
against
Nobody.
Any pill or hospital or anything like that.
No, my rants are typically always going to be about the unnecessary medicalization of everyday life, right? Mm-hmm. Which creates excuses to not go into lifestyle medicine research
right.
for the self, precision medicine research of just all the things I need to do differently, because it's hard. It's very deep science that mm-hmm. we don't know a lot about yet
yeah.
Because it's been suppressed, right, for so many years. But so I go to this meeting and I'm talking to this other founder, super high in the healthcare industry, and says to me, Ozempic is the most effective drug in the world. Ozempic is the greatest drug in the world. It's like when statins came out, everyone's going to take Ozempic. Don't try to fight pills. Pills, 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 pills. Everybody wants mm-hmm. them. We're going to eradicate obesity with Ozempic, and everyone's going to take it and everyone's going to be on it. And he said, if I gave you two options to live, mm-hmm. right? He said, if I gave you a pill and I told you that you're going to grow an extra head, a third eye, you're going to lose all your hair. And he went on about all the terrible side effects of this drug, mm-hmm. but you had a 20% chance of living. Or I told you, you could take this natural option that had no side effects. You're going to have about a 5% chance of living, but you're going to have a better quality of life mm-hmm. in general. You're going to take the pill and you're going to grow the third eye and lose all your hair and you're going to be happy about it. And all I could think to myself was, what kind of people are they
right.
selling this to, right? Because if you're a person who knows your options, mm-hmm. you understand general lifestyle,
right?
And you're willing to do the work, and you just care about quality of life in general. I don't know anyone personally willing to grow the third eye and lose all their hair.
Yeah, no, not myself.
I mean, baby boomers aren't willing to lose their quality of life at the end of their life more
right.
and more now over this stuff.
The thing that's really scary, more than anything to me, is just from doing the research and stuff prior to this even coming out, and this is complete conspiracy theory at this point, but it sounds a lot like Vioxx. It sounds a lot like Oxy, mm-hmm. like these miracle drugs in these specific ways.
There's no such thing as a miracle drug.
Exactly.
There's no such thing. So,
and we saw what happened to both of those, the largest payouts that have, or some of the largest payouts that have ever happened in the pharmaceutical industry.
Yeah. Unsurprising.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, we could get into a lot of different healthcare topics, but one of the things on the subject of Ozempic, we could get into so many mental health drugs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Is that what's scary to me about the pharmaceutical industry in general, that drug that you just mentioned, all of them, you could take any mentality from a person, any mm-hmm. mindset, any confusion, any true just damaged time in their life and validate it with drugs.
Yeah.
Anything. I mean, really think about that. Whether you are having a weight issue, too low weight or too mm-hmm. high weight, whether you're having pain, whether you're having emotional breakdowns,
right?
anything that you could think that is a time in someone's life where they feel as though they need help or they do need help in any way, you could validate it with drugs.
That's a good point. I never thought about it like that.
It's really true.
Yeah.
And so everyone needs to be so careful when they're being sold what is truly industrialized medicine, because you have to ask yourself, do I want this level of empathy? Do I want the validation, right, in industrialized medicine? Right. Or am I looking for all of my options? Am I looking for, you know, a better way to go about this? Whatever I'm dealing with, whatever I'm facing, mentally, physical, anything.
Mm-hmm.
You can validate it with drugs.
That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never thought about it like that.
That's why there's so many drugs.
Right.
And I think the pharmaceutical companies are well aware
of
their ability to do that.
One of the things that I learned at UNCW, my ethics business class, was what a lot of the pharmaceutical industry does. And it kind of goes into that too, is they find these ways that they can really package and sell something.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the ethics part of it that comes in is how much can we sell of this? Because there will be side effects. Anytime you put something not natural into your body, there will be a side effect.
Mm-hmm.
What is that side effect going to be? And when we do eventually have to pay this out, were we able to sell enough of it to make up for the lawsuits that we have to pay out for?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I have some really frustrating meetings. So I had a meeting probably a year ago with somebody who worked in, he didn't work in optometry, but he was in the pharmaceutical industry and he developed drugs for specifically optometry, eye issues. And so he developed a drug that I forget exactly what he said it was for, helped people to see better, right? Probably at the end of the day. And so he brought it to the boardroom. And so they wanted to sell his drug and he was all excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boardroom completely dictated at what dose it could be sold at, even though he knew exactly as the, as the chemist, what dosage people needed at what time and in the most effective way and cost effective way for the consumer.
Right.
The boardroom limited the dose it could be sold at to force multiple purchases of the bottle over so much time to increase the longevity of taking the pill. So there's tons of pills out there and tons of drugs out there.
Right.
And this poor man met with me and he's like, you won't believe what goes on. He tells me the story. I'm like, I hear this every single week.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but he left being a chemist, right? Mm-hmm. He left pharmaceuticals because that was a completely life-altering, eye-opening moment for him to sit in the boardroom and be told that his drug would be dosed differently and elongated in how many bottles you had to buy and when you could buy them, that they would be dictated that way in order to help people and it actually hurt people.
That's crazy.
So he developed it to help people and they just wanted to financially, obviously, take advantage of people.
Wow.
And their need to see again. Yeah.
That's mind-blowing that people can just go into a boardroom that has no expertise in what you're showing up in and dictating
it's crazy.
How you run your business, essentially.
Yeah, it's crazy. And there's just so many stories like that. I mean, I told you about the meeting I had, just how bad people are and you don't want to be validated.
Right.
So for the listeners, I mean, I told Tyler as soon as I walked in here that one of my meetings that I recently had, it's hard because you go into these meetings as a healthcare entrepreneur and really a tech entrepreneur.
Right.
I mean, I'm not a provider anymore. I used to be a personal trainer, but I went to the admin side and now I just get to meet with providers all the time and hear what they're going through in 2023.
Right.
Much different than what I was dealing with back in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Night and day difference already and how the industry has changed. But I go to these meetings and I, as an entrepreneur, I work from home. Right. In my echo chamber.
Mm-hmm.
And so we imagine like you and I, we watch Instagram, we hear things on the news, we read these LinkedIn posts and we sit in our echo chamber. We're like, wow, people are so bad. But then you also, how often do you actually meet those people in real life?
Right. Yeah. Not often.
You don't. Right. Not often. And even the people I meet with, you know, typically it's a story about how bad someone is. And you're like, I still haven't met him myself.
Exactly.
Right. But so in my echo chamber, trying not to be in a good versus evil mindset, I go to this meeting recently and I think it's going to be a great meeting. He's interested in what we do. So I'm like, oh, this Western medicine professional, you know, is very into lifestyle medicine and natural forms of treatment. This will be great. I'm going to learn a lot. This is awesome.
Yeah.
In the first 15 minutes of the meeting, he sets the tone with, you can't stop people from getting sick. And why would you even want to? And he kept going on in his rant.
Yeah.
And he, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he meant something totally different than what he said, but I can't even imagine what else he could have meant by exactly, exactly that. Yeah. Because that very thought, I mean, it would never even cross my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, I'm so in this, into fixing healthcare and helping people, I can't even imagine thinking to myself, well, why would I even want to get people well? Why would I even want to stop people from getting sick?
Exactly.
It's like an insane thought. It feels insane.
Right.
And so I left that meeting just validated of how bad people really are. I finally had my like firsthand experience with dealing with somebody like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to be validated.
Right.
I was mad about it.
Yeah. You just hope that it's some crazy story that was twisted and turned to like, to help that one individual be able to tell their story.
Yeah.
But to actually hear it firsthand is.
To sit there across the table and have to keep a poker face.
Right.
Yeah. For hours with some of these guys and girls. It doesn't even matter who it is. Yeah. But
crazy.
People that get to that level, they definitely, they're not interested in getting people well. And they tell me that with their own mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for people that are listening, instead of going to Ozempic, what are a few ways that you would suggest that they do it appropriately?
I mean, you've got to be open to the long game.
Mm-hmm.
Like you've got to be okay with, you've got to be okay with, it could take years.
Yeah.
You know, I tell my own husband, who's been on his own weight loss journey for years. And I give him all the credit in the world. The guy works out every single day, has ever since I've known him. We're probably going near a decade now. Mm. Eats really well, has totally adjusted his lifestyle. We've, you know, really taken care of our house differently. Like we do so many things different and he's still on this journey. But every time he gets frustrated, and he's still come a long way. I mean, he's lost like 30 some pounds, you know, in the last probably year or two. But he'll get frustrated. And when he comes to me about it, I tell him, it took you how many years, you know, of your childhood and your lifestyle to get to this point. I hope it's not equivalent for you to come out of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it took you 25 years to become the way you are, it might take you 5-10 plus to get to where you're trying to be now.
Mm-hmm.
Right. That's a lot of damage to undo.
Right.
In poor behaviors or just poor environment.
True.
And lifestyle. Yeah, my recommendation to people is just, A, you've got to be open to the long game, right? Willing to put in the work. And don't lie to yourself. Like, and it's okay. I mean, there's nothing wrong with taking pharmaceutical drugs. If that's what you want to do,
right?
And that's your choice, right? And you know going into it what the side effects of that are going to be.
Yeah.
Right? But it is a lot of research, a lot of work. It's truly an investment in yourself. And you've got to know that you're going to get ROI, right?
Yeah.
In everything else, like all of your relationships and just how you feel about your day-to-day life, how happy you're going to be. Maybe you even meet somebody, right? Mm-hmm. Because you present differently.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, mentally and physically. And so, yeah, I mean, you've just got to be willing to put in the research, the time, the unfortunately, the money.
Mm-hmm.
But I would also say, you know, insurance companies, pharmaceutical companies, and all these people who are playing into Western medicine structure, they strategically direct you into the non-natural ways of doing things. And so that's why that's always your option on that side of the world.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
They're always trying to present the, as Staples was like, that easy button.
Yes. There's no such thing.
Yeah. There's no such thing.
Ostomy bags.
Right. Yeah.
There's nothing easy about living with an ostomy bag.
No.
Nothing.
The other thing that's always been like interesting to me too. So I always used to have like really bad migraines, like debilitating migraines, and I would have them constantly.
I get them like once every 6 months.
Yeah. And so now mine's probably about once every 6 months now, but it used to be just perpetual. Mm. And so I went to a neurologist and he was like, hey, here's this pill. You're going to be on it every single day for the rest of your life.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And so he gave me this pill. He's like, you're gonna be out for the rest, like for the rest of your life. He goes, you're gonna have brain fog. You're gonna have that tip of the tongue feeling all the time. You're gonna forget things often. And I was like, is this like normal like side effects? And he was like, you're guaranteed to have these. There's other like worse side effects. And
oh,
I was
my like, gosh.
Well, that's dandy. That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, do you want migraines? I was like, well, no. And I'm 16 at the time, so I was like,
Yeah,
sure. Give me the pill then. I was like, I'll deal with brain fog. And so I'm taking it.
Trading problems.
Exactly.
Ugh.
So I was like, okay, well, at least I won't have migraines anymore. So now I'm going through college with this and everything. And I'm like, I don't like being on this pill every day.
Yeah.
First of all, I don't remember it every day, which isn't helping me because I'm getting side effects and I'm getting migraines.
People are just as non-compliant with their drug schedule. Oh, people are just as non-compliant in Western medicine as they are in wellness.
Right.
Pick your poison.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I'm going through this and I was like, you know what? There has to be a better way. So now I'm searching, and that's kind of how I got on my like natural health journey, is like there has to be something that's going on here. And come to find out, it was the shit that I was eating, all of the processed
foods.
It was not drinking any water. And when I was drinking water, there was no electrolytes in it because I was getting completely purified water that's nothing in it.
Yep.
And then my stress levels. Mm-hmm. I just kept myself at 100% all the time. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, okay, I wonder if I start eating better, if I start doing more cardio, start drinking more, and if I find a way to reduce some of the stress in my life, would this help? Mm-hmm. And it did.
Of course it did.
So, yeah. And I'm like, all right, I'm going to start weaning myself off this drug. I moved down here, start going to another neurologist. And she was like, oh, no, there's no way that you can do that.
What?
And I was like, what are you talking about?
I did it.
I'm like, I already did it. And she's like, you need to go back on it. And I'm like, I don't have migraines.
Oh.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thank you for our sponsor, the Leland Brewing Company, right over the bridge in Leland Township. Definitely check them out. It's a nice local spot with local beers that they're making on site, as well as some that aren't from the area. It is an amazing family-friendly location, and it's really nice. They got some greenery out back, as well as some nice food trucks that pop up every now and then. So give them a check out. Tell them that Whiskey and Wisdom sent you.
My God, but it didn't matter.
Yeah.
She needed her paycheck.
Yeah. So I was like, guess where I'm not coming back ever again.
Ever again.
Yeah.
So similarly, so we all have health issues, right? Like you're always going to run into something. Nobody's perfect. Getting precision medicine and lifestyle medicine, right? Same difference in a sense. Right, yeah. Getting it all perfect, I don't want to say it's impossible, but it's probably going to take a decade or more. And you're changing every day. Like your environment changes every day just because the temperature changes, right? So like you've got to be able to swing and roll with all of those too in this stuff. So anyway, so we all deal with things. So I have had unwavering acne for, since I was in, probably as soon as I got to college, it got really bad. I go to a dermatologist finally here in Wilmington, not that long ago, a couple of years ago, and they put me on Accutane. And even before I was so aware of all of these options, right, and root cause medicine, period, I was like, oh, Accutane sounds like the only thing that might help me. This is, I don't know what the problem is. Nobody wanted to test for what the problem was. I have a number of stories about this, by the way. They put me on Accutane. I'm on Accutane for 8 months. The first dose was so strong, I went blind while I was driving to work one day.
Oh my God.
So I go blind driving to work. I literally had to pull over my car, and I was working at the IV infusion clinic at the time. So I pull over my car. I wait a minute. I'm okay for a second. I finally get to the clinic, and all of a sudden now I get so dizzy and I go blind again.
Oh geez.
When I get to work for the first hour, I was so like just lightheaded. I was standing over the counter. I remember standing over the front desk for probably 5 minutes, just trying to balance, not fall, and just trying to get my sight back.
Oh, wow.
So I call the dermatology office. I'm like, hey, is this normal? They're like, no, you need to come in right away. So I leave work that day. I feel like I either went there that day or the next day. I couldn't work though.
Right.
Which is for me, like not a thing.
Yeah.
Ever.
Exactly.
But I couldn't see. I mean, I literally couldn't see. So I go back to the doctor and they sit me down. They're like, so we didn't tell you the side effects because we have never had anybody have it. But 1% of all people on this drug experience what's called pseudo brain tumor syndrome.
Oh, geez.
Where their brain thinks it has a brain tumor. It's pseudo, it's fake.
Right, yeah.
And so that's the that's one of the side effects of Accutane. So I had a fake brain tumor and went blind while I was driving.
Jeez.
From the side effect of this drug. So they wean me down on it, right? And I keep taking this drug for 8 months now.
Right,
And now the whole time I'm horrified, right? But I actually just went off yesterday on Instagram and Twitter. Why isn't there a registered dietitian in every single dermatology office in the country?
Yeah, good point.
Because something like 90% of all skin conditions or some very high statistic of all skin conditions are caused by diet.
Yeah.
Nobody told me that.
Mm-mm.
Or
of course not.
They didn't want to tell me that either. And I recently sat with a lab company and I'm talking to one of the executives of this lab company and I just talking about business, but really quick, I was like, hey, by the way, I've been dealing with unwavering acne. I swear to God, I have adjusted everything you could imagine in my, I think my last thing I need to do is meditation and breath work for stress, right? But food wise, I've changed everything. Fitness wise, I've changed a lot. Like soaps, God, you name it. Like what I put on my face,
right?
All of it. Nothing helps. I still get it. I'm 30 years old. So anyway, I interject with this executive of this lab company. I said, hey, by the way, why isn't there just a lab test for acne? Why has no one ever offered me a test for acne?
Yeah.
This poor guy, as frustrated as I am with healthcare, because that's why we're meeting.
Right.
Right. He says to me one sentence. He just looks at me and he says, there's a lot of money in acne treatment, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. I believe that.
And he didn't say anything else. And I was like, are you telling me there's a lab that is suppressed that people could know exactly why they get acne?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not allowed to be sold. And he didn't say anything. He was like, yeah. And who knows?
I was going to say,
he might not even know, but it sounds like he knew something.
Right.
Right. Like in general, well, yeah, you could probably lab test for anything in the world, but do we want to?
Yeah.
Can we? And is that good for our stockholders? What else are they invested in?
Right.
All this proactive, the Accutane, all the topicals, all of the soaps. Like I could be dealing with this for the rest of my life. I can't get it figured out because nobody wants to test for it.
Yeah.
All I can do is get a hormone test.
There was a, I don't know if it was like a comedy special or Saturday Night Live or whatever the case was. I don't know why it was on a comedy special because I don't think it's that funny. But but they were talking about like, oh yeah, they have the cure for cancer, but why would you want to cure it?
I've heard that before.
Yeah. And I was like, I don't think it's a joke as much as it's probably more real.
Oh, I think, yeah, I think it's super real. I think there's a lot of things suppressed. I mean, I just recently talked about creating a lab ourselves. Mm-hmm. So at Upper, someday we will have our own metric for health status, right? Like you go to your primary care and your annual physical, they're going to take your vitals, right? And all these specific health metrics that they deem good and bad.
Right.
Just like cholesterol, right? There's like a huge fight right now in medicine about good cholesterol and bad cholesterol. Why are people on cholesterol medication when you actually need certain types of cholesterol? And do we even know why we're trying to treat cholesterol? Like that's a huge subject right now. So at Upper, since we rely and promote natural healing, right? Self-healing, your body's physiological ability to self-reconstruct. We hope to create a lab at some point that actually measures how strongly you self-reconstruct and how fast.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Yeah.
So for example, so have you ever seen a movie, a superhero movie? And so the superhero gets cut, right? They've got this like big gash on their hand and something happens. Maybe they cry on it, right? Like something silly goes on. And so, but that wound closes in 5 seconds and it's like, whew, and it's supposed to be a miracle.
Right.
They're supposed to be a superhero. You could imagine that that cut that healed in 5 seconds was just a time-lapse video on a real human being.
Yeah.
Because that's what your body does.
Right. That's true.
It's that's miraculous, right? So this miraculous science of the body's ability, I mean, that could even be the very definition of life itself.
Right.
Is just self-reconstruction. Humans, animals, plants, the earth, living things self-build and self-rebuild and self-grow. And nobody's teaching you about that,
right?
About how to do that while you're alive at 30 years old and you're sick or hurt. Instead, we just want to industrialize medicine, sell you something for consumers to consume that you have to pay for, right? And not figure out how to accelerate the ability to self-heal. So anyway, the lab that we aim to create is that superhero movie can be real and or it can be grown. It can be accelerated. It can be just flourished on. And so what is that science? What is that lab? How do we test cells and their rate and their ability to heal quickly?
Yeah.
And so if we can keep testing Upper customers someday for that, like what is your cellular ability to self-reconstruct, how strong and how fast, then we can figure out what the lifestyle, the precision medicine treatment could potentially be to achieve the next level. Right. And to make you that superhuman. Mm-hmm. Is it really super? I mean, that's what life is.
Right.
But no one's testing for it. Nobody's talking about it. Nobody's studying it. Nobody's teaching it.
Mm-hmm. You know, this isn't really necessarily a lab, but the closest thing that I know out there that exists, but no one can really get their hands on, is all of the data that life insurance companies have.
Mm-hmm.
Because they, if you go in and you sign up for life insurance and they actually do like a really in-depth, like it's usually like a whole life policy where you have to go in and you do like a whole like in-depth everything about you.
Scary Brekka stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where they could find out down to the month that you're going to pass away.
Yeah.
Outside of like suicide car accidents or like, some kind of tragedy happening. Mm-hmm. So just knowing that there's that data out there, mm-hmm. they just keep it under lock and key because it's their proprietary like information that they have.
That's insane.
Insane.
But they made Gary Brekka a millionaire. So
right. Yeah, exactly.
He's got that kind of information, I'm sure. Right. And I'm sure at some point, you know, true wellness companies, lifestyle medicine companies will probably start getting access to that, figuring that out, capitalizing on, you know.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure there's going to be a pool at some point since they all eventually like essentially have the same they'll need the same database in order to be as competitive that there's going to be some type of shared database to have that type of mass data over like the insurance companies, hundreds of years of every single person that's ever lived on the earth, essentially, to get that data.
And you would hope, and you would hope that at some point it's the consumer's right to their own data.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Right. And then the consumer can take that information to any company they want and say, help me.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I would hope for. Yeah.
I know I thought about that before too. I was like, well, if you can like just get yourself, it should be your own data. And they're like, well, it's compiled from everyone else to give you that number. I'm like, that's semantics to me, but call it what you want.
Yeah. We didn't talk about this yet. Another thing that really just is scary about the Ozempic in the gyms is people trust their personal trainers and their wellness coaches and professionals more than anything else. They'll do anything they say.
Mm-hmm.
So in fitness, having been a former personal trainer, there are such things as lifers. Have you ever heard of a lifer?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. They're clients that just stay with you for life.
Right.
Right. That you anticipate will be with you for a very long time because of loyalty.
Yeah.
It is a loyalty and trust factor that they just love you. They appreciate you. They trust you.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm kind of curious if these gyms are going to have, I would imagine, no different than a pharmaceutical rep walking into a doctor's office, just a sales guy.
Right.
Right. Or girl. Are they going to have trainers be telling people to buy Ozempic and go get these shots?
I'm sure.
Well, I guarantee clients are going to listen.
Mm-hmm.
That's scary.
Yeah, that is scary.
Yeah. And do the trainers know what they're saying?
I think it's going to be like a lot of industries where you're going to have the people that are already good at what they're doing.
Yeah.
They don't need this drug to help them create the
transformation.
The transformation that they know they can create. Mm-hmm. But it's going to be these new people coming in. They're trying to make a quick buck. Be like, oh, I can convince everyone I'm the best fucking trainer in the world because you're going to drop 30 pounds in 2 weeks because you're taking this.
Sounds injection. So unhealthy.
I know.
If I lost 30 pounds in 2 weeks, I would lay down and never get up again.
Yeah, I would be like,
I'd be a train wreck.
Yeah.
Like, who am I?
What happened to
you? Yeah, what happened to me? What did I do to myself?
Yeah, I know I'd mess up at that point.
Yeah, yeah. So when you're looking for your fitness center in January, just make sure they're selling you something you want to be sold on.
Right.
I think is really the key, right? Because you want to keep freedom and you want to let people do what they want to do. But do you want that level of validation and that? Do you want to be sold something like that?
And something, and having a trainer that is making something personalized to you. That's another thing that I've seen out there in the wild as well is like, oh, here's this one program that I came up with that worked for me. You're going to do it now.
Yeah, that's like all these diets.
What? Exactly.
That's like going vegan or carnivore and having no idea what your ancestral background is and your genetic code.
Exactly.
Right. You're just like throwing arrows at a target and you hope one lands center. And someday they will.
Right. Yeah.
But until you figure out what works for your entire physiological layout, you're just throwing darts at the dartboard.
Yeah. That's what I've always said is either going to spend time or money to figure out what you're looking for in life. And if you have the money, go to someone and figure out what it is so you don't have to spend all the time.
Yeah, do it the effective way.
Yeah, exactly.
The most efficient, effective way. Yeah, which is unfortunately testing.
Right.
But testing that tells you what your next steps are. Mm-hmm. And if the test is $600, maybe it saved you 10 grand.
Exactly.
You know, who knows? Yeah, totally worth it.
Yeah. So but the Gary Brekka thing, I did do the gene
mutation thing. We want to do this so bad. My husband and I, we want to do this.
Oh, yeah. I highly recommend it. It's really good.
Yeah.
And I got it back. I was like, Oh.
What
this is mind-blowing.
Can we ask what mutations you have?
Yeah, so
you don't have to tell us.
No, it's okay. Okay. I tell everyone
We all
anyway.
Have some. Yeah. We all have one.
So the strongest one I have is a COMT gene mutation, okay. which looks a lot like ADHD.
Okay.
And it's just mind racing all the time. Mm-hmm. Like, there can't be clutter because your mind's already cluttered and it just like throws you into a tizzy. Yep, like those type me. Of things. Yeah.
yeah.
And the other one, it's not as bad in general, but it's the MTHFR gene mutation.
Okay.
So those are the two main
What does that
ones.
Mean? The audience might not know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you'll probably know a little bit more than I do. I have half of it. My mom has like the full gene mutation. So does my sister and so does my son. Mm-hmm. So.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So they can't, what's the word I'm looking for?
Process.
Yeah, process basically all the stuff that's going into their body. So okay. if there's too much aluminum from
if there's
something.
Too much metal you're not supposed to eat anyway.
yeah, if there's some aluminum that's in your body from something that Goodness. Really affected all of those people in my family. And to yeah. me, to a certain extent, yeah. I've had too much of this aluminum put into my body at one point and I ended up in the hospital. And my son had horrible God. Eczema for the longest yeah. time until he figured it out. They thought my mom's gallbladder had to go out. My sister had some other issues as well too. So we figured out that way.
Dang.
Yeah.
We need to get this. Did you hear, I'm sure you heard on the Gary Brecka episode, something like 46% of all women have this gene mutation that they can't process folic acid.
Yeah.
And you're told as a woman to get on folic acid. Yeah. Before you get pregnant, during pregnancy, and then, yeah.
And the crazy thing too, and if that was or is the actual case, it's a really swick, like easy change. Not folic acid, folate.
Yeah.
Like it's right. not even a big change. Yeah. You just, instead of taking this type of the medication, take mm-hmm. the actual one.
And the doctors don't even know this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They don't. Something like, so they go to school for 8 years and they get something like 2 weeks of nutrition education.
Yeah.
In their 8 years of school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you find out that it's primarily the pharmaceutical companies that's paying for their education.
Pays for their education. Yeah. We know more about outer space and the bottom of the ocean combined than we know about food science.
That's
and
amazing.
Nutrition. Yeah, did you know that?
I did not know that.
yeah, we know more about those things combined than we know how food and the environment impacts our health.
That's crazy.
Because we don't want to know, Tyler.
I was going to say.
They don't want to know.
There's a reason why money isn't flowing there.
Yeah, so. I have such a hard time believing that you can't capitalize equivalently on precision medicine and precision lifestyle medicine, right? I keep right. saying both at the same time, but to me, precision medicine is taking holistic health, right? Every area from mm-hmm. sleep to food to exercise to home environment, social and emotional health, et cetera. Taking all of those and putting them together in a perfectly dosed amount per you,
mm-hmm.
that is precision medicine for your personal health. Right?
Right.
That's what precision is.
Yeah.
Volume, frequency, timing, temperatures, all that stuff. But these doctors aren't taught any of that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I forget the rant I was even going to go on. I can go on 100 today.
To kind of like feed off of that though, yeah. it is interesting that that can't be monetized as much as.
Oh, yeah.
That, which is where you're going. But yeah.
It can be monetized. It's just such a long game. Actually, I'll tell you another thing that happened in one of these meetings
mm-hmm.
on this subject. So I had somebody else say to me, if you don't industrialize modern wellness, right? I call mm-hmm. it modern wellness, which is like the fitness centers and the nutritionists, right? Their treatment at
right.
the end of the day, they're not fundamental wellness. Fundamental mm-hmm. wellness is nature. It shouldn't really cost you anything.
Right.
It's your own behaviors and choices. And it is actually the ingredients of the food you eat and where you get
sure,
food
yeah.
from. Right. Those are fundamental wellness. Modern wellness is taking behavior and dosing them
mm-hmm.
or forms of counseling, right, about those areas.
Right.
And then dosing them. So then you have mental health therapy. You get the gym,
mm-hmm.
which is indoors, are immediately unnatural with weights, unnatural.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. All that stuff. Modern wellness is lifestyle medicine. It is medicinal and it is treatment in some yeah. form. So one of my meetings said to me, if you don't industrialize wellness, then you have nothing for consumers to consume. And a problem solved is a closed company. If you have nothing for consumers to consume, nothing to sell,
mm-hmm.
then you have no company. You have no capital to gain. And I was being encouraged in that meeting
yeah.
to industrialize everything,
right.
which Meanwhile, Upper's trying to unindustrialize, right? Yeah. Like unindustrialize the food, unindustrialize nature in mm-hmm. general and our behaviors. We very much acknowledge and know and market the fact that the services currently on the platform that we're opening with are medicinal.
Right.
They're lifestyle medicine.
Yeah.
Fundamental wellness is going outside, right? Like it is and it always will be. And these farm fresh groceries we're trying to get, that mm-hmm. could be fundamental wellness. Just what food people are getting.
Right.
But yeah. And so they told me that. And all I could think to myself was, you know, that these things could be capitalized on. Mm-hmm. And it is already industrialized. There's a gym.
Right.
A fitness center is an industrialized version of exercise.
It's true. Yeah.
Because otherwise you have people like me who do, I mean, I go to the gym sometimes. I just enjoy it.
Right.
But typically I'm outside and I'm doing all body weight and calisthenics. One of the hardest things you can do.
The other thing I think is really funny too is the reason why that there was no gyms in the 1800s is because you're outside moving hay bales
yes,
and like working. Giving doing actual physical labor. There was no need for a gym.
No
so
tech.
Like yeah. Like just going outside exactly
yeah.
and doing what your body was meant to do anyway.
Yeah, I wrote an essay called Wellness Pills and Band-Aids mm-hmm. Probably 6 months or a year ago that one. I came out with that one.
Yeah.
And it talks all about how fitness centers, and I love them and support them.
Right. Absolutely.
Them. Yeah. Like no harm there. But just realizing and properly identifying what they are, who they're for, mm-hmm. their market. And then they have what I called in this essay, inverse side effects. Mm-hmm. Right. So there's a lot of talk in the lifestyle medicine industry and in the wellness industry that, you know, it's side effect free. Well, it's just simply not true either. Right. Mm-hmm. So there's no direct side effect where I'm going to go to the gym and then all of a sudden I'm going to develop a heart condition.
Right.
It might not work like that, but you're going to get what's called an inverse side effect where if I'm going to a fitness center, I'm working out inside, what am I not getting, mm-hmm. right, by performing my exercise unnaturally indoors and with weights around all these other people, I'm sharing recycled air.
Yeah.
And I'm not getting sunlight.
True.
Which typically in back in the day, if you were exercising outside, mm-hmm. you're inherently getting sunlight.
Exactly.
Right. And so how much sunlight have we lost as a population just because everyone's joining gyms now?
Oh, yeah.
You know,
that's interesting.
And there's really not outdoor gyms. They're inverse side effects.
Right.
Right. Like, so what's not happening? It's no different than just buying crappy food.
Right.
Right. Yeah. Or even like this new raw milk movement.
Mm-hmm.
Big raw milk movement. I'm on it. I drink raw milk.
Same, yeah.
And I'm learning as I keep reading about it and just meeting other people doing it, all the things that weren't happening to me because I was drinking pasteurized milk for so long. Like, I'm not one of those people where pasteurized milk made me super sick. Like, mm-hmm. I wasn't throwing up and I was getting a little bloated.
Right.
But really, pasteurized milk, I believe, primarily just has this inverse side effect where it's denutriatized.
Yeah.
Right. They're pasteurizing the nutrients out of the milk
mm-hmm.
and then telling us that raw milk is super dangerous for us.
Yep.
I know people have gotten E. coli from Chipotle, right?
But exactly.
But the raw milk could be the worst thing we ever do. And it's illegal in most states and always says not for human consumption.
Yeah.
That's crazy to me.
It's mind blowing.
Yeah. So not only are we drugging the problems that our day to day lifestyles have created now in this new era,
mm-hmm.
but we're also just lacking. Like, it's either being taken from us or it's being misgrown as an industry.
Mm-hmm.
The future of fitness is outdoor fitness.
Yeah.
If fitness centers are smart, like a lot of them you're seeing now, they put in these big, I don't even know what they're called, all the outdoor, like,
right,
like Spartan stuff.
Yeah.
They're putting in all the pull-up bar racks that are like jungle gyms and flipping tires outside and they're installing turf. That's great.
Yeah.
And that's probably a lot of their slow transitions to becoming a primarily outdoor facility. Mm-hmm. Much better for people.
I've always wanted to, in North Carolina, I think you could do this pretty easily, especially where we live, because it's nice the majority of the time.
Yeah, the weather's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to be able to like rent a part of like underneath a, what's it called? Pier.
Yeah, yeah.
And have like a bunch of like weights and equipment and stuff mm-hmm. underneath there and pull up bars and stuff and have it be like an outside gym, like a specific outside gym, on the sand. And also on the opposite side of that, like up in the mountains, mm-hmm. having like real rustic type of stuff outside, like in the woods and stuff like that.
So city parks and rec departments,
mm-hmm.
I think they know that they have they have a huge way to help people with their exercise and whatnot by installing those very things in the parks. Because you go to the Wrightsville Beach Loop, and I mean, you've got the massive outdoor gymnasium, right? People use it.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't think City Parks and Rec and city planning have realized yet in most areas is their ability to capitalize on outdoor fitness.
Oh, yeah.
And that they actually hold the key and public property to the future of exercise.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. The optimal, the most optimal future to exercise and health.
That is true.
With all those, yeah, with all that equipment.
That's a good point.
They can do a lot with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We'll leave that to you, Wrightsville Beach.
You have some work to do. Right. Yeah, yeah.
This is your calling.
Well, and it could, if they do it right, it could really, what would be the opposite of saturate? Desaturate, unsaturate? Right, yeah. I mean, it would really lessen the saturation of boutique fitness centers.
Right, that's true.
I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing necessarily. I mean, I'm sure for just city development and real estate and things like that, it's not good, right? Because you want businesses there and you want those types of businesses.
I don't think it'll really kill it as much as what I would think about right away, because I know a lot of we know a lot of the same boutique gym owners. Mm-hmm. That community, those communities in there are tight. Like they're going tight in there for the community. Yeah. So like if you said, hey, you can go work out for free over there, like they may do it on occasion and maybe they don't get as large of a package, but I don't think they would divest completely of their community.
Yeah, I don't think they would either. I think people join places a lot for the accountability.
Right. Yeah.
Because it's lifestyle medicine.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what? I take it back. It wouldn't hurt it, because at the end of the day, I'm a person who is a staunch naturalist, right? Like I do all my workouts outside for the most part. I do all body weight and calisthenics. I eat as raw and whole food diet wise as I can. I'm a hard person to sell, period.
Same.
Because unless I already have a health issue or I need something, I'm not going to pay for the treatment form of it.
Right.
Right. Which to me would be community, accountability, personal training, any of that stuff. Like you can't sell me on that stuff unless I have a need.
Right.
Right. And so those are really two different people.
That's true.
They're the same person if I do have an issue, because that is the route I'm going to go for treatment.
Right.
But until that moment comes, what could you possibly sell me on?
Yeah.
Unless you're a farm with food, because I got to eat. That's about it. Yeah.
Makes sense. Mm-hmm.
So you're right. They wouldn't divest. They are two different people in two different situations. Yeah.
I was just thinking about that. I was like, same people.
Same person in two different situations. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was like, oh, wait,
same
now you have it.
Two situations.
You know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything else that has been on your mind? Because we have been talking for almost an hour now.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no. We can stop there. I could go on forever about this stuff. Be careful what gym you join. Make sure that they're selling you what you want to be sold on. If you're having an obstacle in your life, seek the validation that you're going to thank yourself for, you know, 5-10 years from now.
Yeah. And I understand this is like a more personal thing for me, but there's some type of, we're talking about validation. There's more of a validation for me going and working my ass off in the gym every day and seeing my body change than knowing that I took a pill that made me lose the weight, even if there was no side effects.
Yeah. And I want people to know that even if they are on pharmaceuticals or doing any of that, that's why we opened up her is literally for you.
Yeah.
Right. It's, somebody, a venture capitalist, called me recently and said, Sarah, I have no idea who your customer is. Mm-hmm. And in my mind, I'm like, well, then you're just not paying attention. Right. Because so everyone is clear. Our customer is one type of person.
Mm-hmm.
It is someone who is either avoiding pharmaceutical drugs and surgery today or in 10 years.
Right.
Right. So there's an immediate need to avoid it, or it's a prevention style.
Right.
Or it's someone who's looking to get off of it.
Mm-hmm.
Still the same person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. So if you're trying to essentially detox and just distance yourself from these invasive industrialized forms of medicine, that's who Upper is for. And so at no point in time do we put down people who are taking these drugs. We just really want to emphasize how scary it is that people don't know their options.
Right.
And don't know what's happening either. And the folks that you're going to for help oftentimes are just as, They're as much not educated as you are,
right,
on the subject.
Mm-hmm. That's why they need to call you.
They're all getting their information from a sales rep from somewhere.
Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
They're not in school anymore.
Yeah, and that's kind of your value prop, right? You've done the vetting.
Yeah, we do the vetting on their licenses.
Right.
Yeah, so we make sure everyone's real, of course.
Yeah, so not only are they real, but they're also going to be more functional up front.
Yeah, well, everybody that is in our provider network is just nature first in treatment style.
Right.
I could tell you right now, if one of these fitness centers who was selling pharmaceuticals in their centers approached us for partnership, I'd probably deny it.
Yeah.
Probably deny the partnership. Because it's not nature first in its approach.
Yeah. It's against the brand that you're creating.
It's totally against the brand. It's not against, you know, our willingness to let someone go there.
Right.
You can go there. We're just not going to sell it for them.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it. I'm sure we'll have another one of these.
Yeah, so, we will. Yeah. I could have this every day. I do this every day over my kitchen table.
Yeah. We'll bring Chris on and ask the crazy questions next time too. And
yeah.
All of the different, and that's another reason why, like, just to kind of put this at the end of it, to bring Chris right back into it, since it's his podcast as well, is I know we really like dove in and hit high level real quick. Chris would have been able to help us a little bit more, kind of dial it back for people that weren't on the same path and trajectory that we were at on the level 20, like chapter 20 of our life. But
tell everybody more about where we're at, another podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Break it down better.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, Sarah. I appreciate it. And if anyone else is on medication you don't want to be, or you want to make sure you're not on it.
Pharmaceutical sobriety. Pharmaceutical sobriety.
I like it. Make sure you hit up Sarah. Follow Upper. There's some great stuff on there. It's always fun to follow your antics online anyway.
Thanks. I'm a little, might be a little crazy, but I appreciate the support.
Anytime. That's what we're here for. Thank you all for watching, subscribing, listening, and hopefully you will subscribe to our YouTube channel, which this will be on at some point when our computer decides to load properly. However, thank you for everything that you've done so far, and we will see you on the next one. Cheers.
See you soon.